This 1-0 production known as Minnesota Vikings football rolls on via Vikings game plan. Paul Allen and radio analyst Pete Bursich. Last week we looked extensively at Drew Brees, Hall of Famer to be. Now we move on to another toughie, Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers offense.
Yeah, the Steelers offense starts and really stops with Ben Roethlisberger. He has a way of keeping plays alive even though he's not really shifty or fast, but he's so big. And then defensively, 7 sacks against the Cleveland Browns. You've got to give some respect to that.
Yeah, let's take a look at Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, and the rest of the Steelers' operation.
Basically, what you see here is Roethlisberger gets to the top of his drop, is a couple of receivers are double covered, then you have the one-on-one down here. So you think that would be the position or the place that he would want to go.
Yeah.
You've got a safety and a linebacker over the tight end, and you have a safety and a nickel over the slot receiver. So they have that thing pretty well covered, and Roethlisberger knows that. But his ability to look a defender off and then deliver a strike, and he really threads the needle in between the linebacker
coverage.
Between the two linebackers to get it to tight end. You get a great shot of this in the end zone, and exactly what he does. He knows defenders are reading him and they're looking at his eyes, and you'll see how this opens up things underneath because he gives a nice look outside. Staring outside, boom, sets his feet and then delivers a bullet. And
that's brilliant.
Look at that. Right, he gets that little lane right through here and gets it to the tight end. So
wow.
Roethlisberger can do some things at quarterback that not very many people can do.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another example of him checking. He's behind the line of scrimmage, gets the snap. And if you watch this throw, this is at least a 40-yard throw on a deep comeback. Not many quarterbacks in this league can make this. But if you give him the opportunity to step up, and this is what the offensive line has done a great job of, giving him a pocket to throw out of, he can deliver the ball a long way and on time. Couple of other things. You can't just assume what they're going to do.
Now, Le'Veon
Bell gets split out. He's one-on-one against the safety. So you think that because their best offensive player, one of their best offensive players, is out there, they're going to go that way. Or you've got something going on underneath over here to try to get everybody to look over to that side. He gets the front. And this is what we're talking about managing the game. What you have here is you have a tight end. The end is not really committing either way.
Oh, look at that.
But it buys time for the tackle to get out.
That's sweet.
To get out, block this linebacker.
Yeah.
And then he just curls up. And it's almost like a shovel pass.
Yeah.
Except it's to the tight end on the other side. Boom,
yep.
Touchdown. Defensively, with 7 sacks, this is a guy that we're going to keep an eye on. It's T.J. Watt. And he had a great day, 2 sacks and an interception. But his athleticism, just like his brother, is one of the things that you want to point out. Now, you look at this. You've got a receiver way down here.
So what's he doing here?
He's just covering the flat. He's waiting for something to check out or something. This is kind of his area.
Yeah.
But he's smart enough to read the quarterback, see him, and then try to get his body, and that's all you want to do as a linebacker is get in the throwing lane.
Oh, that's
but
nice.
Look at that vertical jump. I mean, the vertical jump and the catch.
Yeah.
Not many linebackers can do that.
Honestly, that's an awful pass by Deshaun Kizer. I mean, Bradford, 95% is not going to make that throw.
No, absolutely not. It's a good example, though, of T.J. Watt and his abilities. He's on the outside here. He's going to be rushing the passer. The tenacity. And then he also is able to do things that it usually takes guys a couple years. So right now, he's going up against one of the better tackles in the league in Joe Thomas. But he knows, TJ already knows, that as he gets upfield, he knows when it's too far.
Mm-hmm.
So he's above what we call beyond the quarterback.
Yep.
And so the D-lineman will then want to peel around to try to get back and fall in because the quarterback will step up in the pocket.
Oh.
And he's able to do just that. So you think you've got him blocked. He gets Thomas to turn his shoulders, but watch this redirect. Bam, he slaps that arm away and gets back underneath, and Thomas is not able to get back underneath. So
other
thing you see nice is a nice balanced rush up front. Here's another example. So when you're having problems with the guy, what do? You help with the tight end. Well, in this case, you have a tight end and a running back coming over to try to slow him down. Gets rid of the tight end. I mean, that's a strong move right there. Gets him, boom, throws him on the ground. Running back gets him, he swims underneath it. So you think now Kizer, good
Deshaun,
mobile quarterback, gets out. He has nowhere to go with it, but Watt never gives up. This is the key to a great defensive end. We got guys like this with Everson Griffin, but you think right there, it's all over. I mean, he's got a good 10, 15 yards between he and the quarterback. He comes back, boom, eventually gets back on it. So the speed of T.J. Watt, the hustle of T.J. Watt, those are all concerns for the Minnesota Viking offense. I don't think after what the Vikings did against New Orleans that they're just going to try to let Bradford sit in the pocket and throw down and just pick them apart. He's just too accurate. So I think two quarterbacks, very good at throwing the football. You want neither of them to feel better in the pocket. The question is whether the Vikings can do that by rushing four, or are they going to have to blitz to get pressure on Ben?